What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and surprise, surprise, no Earl again. Just kidding, he's on his way down. But we do have a very special guest in-house, and it's our very first returning guest, Josh Barnett, the War Master.
Wait, so I'm the only person that's returned to the show?
Yeah. No one else has wanted to come back. You're the only one that said okay.
I don't know what that... I think it says more about me than you guys, to be perfectly honest.
Shit.
Either way, not good.
Not good.
Not a good look.
Not a good look.
But second time's a charm, I guess, and so we're going to have to do our best. Godzilla is wrestling King Kong.
Yeah, upstairs, apparently upstairs, like. We're not doing stand-up comedy anymore. It's just pure pro wrestling upstairs.
Yeah. You can hear the bumps all the way through to this dungeon of podcasting excellence.
Hey, well, this is an upgrade from the last time you were here. We were in the other room last time.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, you painted the walls black.
Yeah, you know, if you paint rust, it's not rust anymore.
This chair seems like it's got less weed, alcohol, and cum stains. So this is better.
We're working on it.
Better. Although, you know.
Better lighting.
I'll be the judge of that once I see myself on YouTube. God.
Yeah. I might want to get a towel to wipe down the shine a little bit. But
hey, Sam Kinison sweated his ass off his whole career.
That's right? True. That's true. That was amazing.
As a worker.
That's a worker right there. You are here because March 30th. Oh, guess who decided to join us? We have a special guest.
Is it Lenny Bruce?
Lenny Bruce is here, ladies and gentlemen. Back from the dead. Welcome, welcome. The inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
Well, it works, actually. Lenny Bruce was both those things and Jewish.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, but he said words I'm not comfortable saying with them. Notice I said in public.
In public, yeah. I was just going to remark. Behind closed doors.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, in my
get
car.
Get your PA to fix it.
No,
there
she
you go.
Is the boss.
No, she is the producer.
The she is the producer.
John is out.
It's a new era. Women's
the new era.
Up here. There's no more fucking around.
This is, was it that Etta James song? Is that what we're going on with?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. Etta James, does she book a room?
You know what? I heard that she was the champion of Mid-South for four consecutive years.
Nice.
Had a killer elbow drop and was notorious for being hard to pin, just very squirmy on bottom.
Didn't she beat Nikita Koloff at the...
Two out of three falls, yeah.
You know how to play along.
Yeah, no, for sure. And even with the interference from Ivan Zhukov outside, she still reigns supreme.
I'm just reading his book right now.
Etta James?
No, Nikita Koloff. Wait, is Etta James the guy? What's going on?
No, I was...
As fine as she is, it's a new era. Oh. Like, you don't know what's going on these days. And that makes me want to ask you a question right up
there. About Etta James.
No, but...
Thank God.
He's the brains.
No, go ahead.
Well, there's that...
That just tells you a lot about the show if I'm the brains.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like saying you're the smallest girl and the biggest loser. Like, you're still pushing four bills.
Nice. You know, you almost feel like if you get to the end of the Biggest Loser and you take second place, you're like, all right, what if I just beat their ass? You know what I mean? Just like shove them over.
Yeah.
And they can't get
up. It doesn't take a lot. Just tilt.
I mean, I would, you know, I'm embarrassed to say I would laugh, not at necessarily the contestants, but the fact that they were weighed on like a Richter scale.
That's fucking terrible.
No, I mean, I don't like people getting exploited.
You know what? It was pretty, I thought it was kind of a fucked up deal to have Rulon Gardner do it that one year.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, wait, hold on. This guy's an Olympic athlete and a wrestler at that. Of course he's going to destroy everyone. Because usually the people on these sort of shows are your run-of-the-mill normie types that are kind of lost. You know, usually I would say that some of this stuff is... I'm not going to get too deep, but like...
He looked right at me when he said that.
Lack of meaningful... A lack of living a meaningful life and the nihilism of modernity and so on and so forth. But
you're using way too big of words for this podcast.
But they're usually not athletes either. So, yeah. Or athletes that are familiar with the concept of even losing weight on a short-term basis or even a long-term basis. Like if you're coming into a season and doing your dieting preseason to get yourself at a certain number, and then you figure if you start from there, then your cuts and your dieting throughout season will end you exactly where you need to be when it counts. And so these just like, wow, I'm just going to get off this couch and walk out the, you know, the old townhouse and I'm going to make it happen. It's like, no, you're not. They just fucking clubbed you with a ringer. I don't care how fat he is. He could have showed up at 700 pounds. He still would have beat you because he's a Olympic athlete.
Well, I just didn't like, you know, they make these people who are, you know, at least 100 to 200 pounds overweight run an obstacle course that an Olympic athlete couldn't navigate. I don't like people being exploited.
What if they did competitions in the shopping cart scooters?
Ooh.
Anything would.
Like Mario Kart, and they start tossing stuff at each other, bananas.
Who knows? Yeah, maybe it's like build the lowest calorie meal in the supermarket, go.
Ooh. I'm down with that. Instead, they had that one exercise where they would take the person who's ahead and they would put them in a room full of candy and so cake.
Look, I've never really watched this show, but that was what was in my head, and that's fucked up.
But the point was, let's see how good your willpower is. And they would offer them
all the jump cuts I can imagine in my head, trying to create tension.
But they would offer them rewards.
Big zoom in on the maple bar and zoom in on his face and zoom in on the Oreos and zoom in on a sweat drop. Yeah.
Are those peanut butter Oreos?
They would offer them rewards.
Yeah.
I just put peanut butter on them.
Well, there you go.
I just don't like people being exploited.
You're
spoken like somebody.
One thing I knew about you, Earl, from the day we met is that you were a champion of the abused. And not the amused.
But. Well, I mean, I'm watching Slap Fight, and some of those guys clearly should not be.
I was just in Vegas around a bunch of professional slappers.
Can I ask you, like, I'm sure this wasn't on our list of things to go over.
No, what, you have a list?
He does. I don't. I'm what they call an improv.
I'm just glad you made Schindler's.
No.
It's a great movie if you watch it backwards. Same thing.
Awful.
Same thing with Philadelphia. Tom Hanks gains weight. He looks great at the end. Hello.
You're gonna ask him if he likes power or the slaps? Is that what you're?
Well,
gonna?
No. That seems like a very dangerous. Like UFC, MMA is dangerous.
Sure.
Pro wrestling is dangerous.
Sure.
I think go into it. Being able to protect yourself to a certain degree if you're capable at it. Slap fight it's a free shot. Like, it doesn't, how can you protect yourself?
I think it's pretty obvious to see. And I did comment on Twitter, you know, where all opinions absolutely matter. That's
gotta be true.
Yeah. That is the authority on anything if you saw it on Twitter. But I said, we're basically one step away from Ow My Balls from Idiocracy.
Yeah, dude.
But. Here, I'll give you my 411 on being in the vicinity of the power slap athletes. One, first thing I got to say is I ran into a lot of dudes that were MMA fans. They also fought MMA or maybe even still did in varying degrees. Were big fans of mine, very nice people, very considerate. I wish them literally no ill will. And if they were somehow able to capitalize on what power slap.
Sounds about right.
Power slop. Now that's more something in our down our purview, right?
Like it's on an adult channel.
I was just thinking of eating, but
I bet you are.
But that could also be on the adult channel.
On Channel J in New York.
These, you know, if these guys were able to make anything out of power slap that benefited them, you know, good on you, right? Because ultimately, with this kind of stuff, although it does touch, you know, it's adjacent to MMA and serious combat sports, there is some ethical element that I think is an MMA guy and a pro wrestler and a combat sports guy that I have to address with it. But generally my outlook on this kind of overall like bottom barrel kind of media, not including Comedy Store Wrestling, is
that's below the barrel.
When you want to burn the Kardashians I mean, specifically them down for the reality show, you got to realize it's if nobody watches it, it doesn't get made. Or exactly. If it gets made, it doesn't stay on the air. And so they're... You should be more upset that there's an audience that this caters to.
You're looking at him. That's
he's watching.
I got to be honest with you.
He's watching.
It's the funniest show I've ever seen in my life.
I've never watched it. So I look, I'm meeting these people. Yes, 100% characters abound. So could this make good television or good bad television? Quite possibly.
Yeah.
But I have to, so I'm getting to my shuttle. Catch my flight back after Victor Henry wins his fight, has another one where he throws like near 400 punches and 400 strikes across three rounds.
Kicks.
So much volume. Jesus.
Yeah.
I go, why are you always working so hard? Find a way to do it a lot easier. Jesus. You know, and if you get it done in one or two, then we can leave earlier. That's even better. But, Tony Gravely is tough as shit, so I can't really fault Victor for not finding the way to take him out exactly, and because he certainly tried.
I mean, you were yelling, make him suffer.
Well, yeah, no, I'm 100%. And then he played him that Celtic Frost hip-hop demo thing that's out there.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
It is really fucking bad. Anyways. So I come down to the shuttle to jump on it at like 7:30 in the morning to catch my flight. I had a checked bag, had to get there a little early. I roll out the front doors. There's security everywhere and actual police officers. And they're wandering all about and they're all around where the shuttles are. I just go, of course. Walk up. I have an idea what the culprit is here. And so I turn to the UFC staff guy and I'm like, is this some power slap bullshit? And he just looks at me. He's like, Jesus is running around. He's on one.
Slap Jesus? He's one of the guys?
Yes.
Yeah, the long hair. I know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
He had a boombox everywhere he went.
Jeez.
It's him and there's clearly trying to make this Mexican.
Is there Slap Satan?
Not yet, but I'm sure Dana White will...
That could be you.
No, I'm not standing there to let someone fucking hit me like that.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. Yeah, right here. And they hold a styrofoam tube. So
well, they fall okay, whoever started conceiving all this slap shit did have a brain cell, I have to say. And beyond just the whole there's one born every minute P.T. Barnum side.
Yeah.
So I talked to – we're in the we're at the P.I., so the power slap people were using, they had free access to the PI to train and cut weight and whatever. There's weight classes. And so all of us for the UFC Fight Night 285, was it? Not 285.
89?
286 was 86?
Yesterday. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm confusing the normal numbered ones with the.
We're jumping around.
Ones. Yeah.
How could we help it? Half grasshopper here. So we... We're in the PI and we're in the sauna just doing some weight cutting and it's all power slap dudes in there. And we had a conversation about all the different aspects of the quote unquote sport of it. And as well as everybody's individual experiences with how they ended up in this place in the first, how they ended up in this competition in the first place. I swear we heard one guy said he answered an ad on Craigslist.
Jesus.
So
we need someone willing to take a slap.
I've been there. Yeah.
So yeah, it involved a lot of slapping too, I bet. Yeah.
I've been on the other end of that phone call. Are you a man or a woman?
Which one do you want to be? Yeah.
I did have that happen to me once.
Oh yeah?
Long story short, I answered this girl's ad. I get to the Best Western on Highland and Sunset.
That's how you know that they're really putting out the real bucks.
Best Western.
She answers the door and said, dude, I'm like, you're not the girl in the ad. And he's like, no, but I'll still suck your dick.
Nice.
I'm like, no, you won't. And let me tell you, he was amazing.
Hello.
I'm going to not. He's got to get to the serious question.
No, I don't. I'm here for Josh.
Life could use more Earl.
Yeah, I did buy one of your Affliction shirts off your website back in the day.
I know you did. I know you did.
I kind of miss it, too.
I can make you an all-over print shirt if you like.
You know, are you sponsored by Affliction anymore?
Before he before he buries him?
No, I'm not going to bury Affliction.
No, but no, I'm not going to bury. I just, you know, a guy wanted to fight me. He saw me in your shirt. And he's at the gym. He's like, "What's your specialty?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like,
prostate massage.
Tell me about it. This gym. That was the norm. I'm like, I'm just a big fan of Josh
Barnett. Gold's Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah, it was there, actually.
Used to work out there.
On the Hollywood.
Felt like gay spring break. And you know, anytime I was feeling less, when you're out and about years ago, single and ready to mingle and all that, and you're just like, man, I don't know if, maybe I just don't have it anymore. Maybe I'm just not that good looking of a guy, you know? And you walk to Gold's Gym, Hollywood, you go, fuck. Still got it.
What?
These guys think I look amazing.
Yeah,
I'm into that. I'll take it. Yeah, a little ego boost.
Well, he just didn't like that I was wearing an MMA shirt and I don't do it.
Oh,
yeah, he wanted.
But I'm like, bro, you're wearing a Steelers shirt. I didn't see you in the fucking huddle.
Yeah, true enough.
But it was a very nice Affliction shirt, dark gray.
Yep.
With the sparklies.
Some of them did. Yeah, that sparklies. Actually was not something that I had. Okayed.
Was that a shiny Pokemon type version of the shirt?
No,
they just like the little plastic the rhinestones on things.
Do you have shirts available on your website now?
I do, but
I'm gonna buy some.
joshbarnett.com. I've got some. I'm merchandising through Kings Road, who does Behemoth and everybody else. Just
quality shirts, not like pro wrestling tees.
Oh, do they make shit shirts?
Well, if you like a Sting shirt with a nice 8-inch gash in it, yes, they do.
Do they include a little story about how that gash was made?
I don't want to know the story. I'm a Sting guy.
If it was compelling, maybe it'd be worth keeping it.
If you ever bring in Sting to your promotion, I'd like to be
I could maybe bring in Sting to do, like, preach the gospel. That's about it.
I will take it.
I want to remember the 80s it. Sting.
Oh.
Guys, I'll find the Lord. Yeah, Nikita Koloff.
From Venice Beach.
Yeah.
He was also Blade Runner Rip or whatever.
No, he was with the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, the Blade Runner Rock and Blade Runner something else.
Jeez.
It's a great story. There's five guys, Gold's Gym in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Crockett called him up, said, "I want the two guys to the right of the picture." The other three guys were, "Sorry, guys." Jim and Steve are, you know, that's the business. I mean, have you ever picked a guy in your promotion just on a picture? Is that, I want the, or woman, this guy's got a great look, or the girl's got a great look?
No, I have not.
You're no Jim Crockett.
That I will absolutely attest to.
Yeah, that's Vince McMahon.
I'm not a Cornette, a Crockett, a McMahon. You can say what you want about all of them in any way, negative or positive, but you have to understand that they do have a certain kind of genius to them.
Oh, absolutely.
They know how to pick things out and pick up on certain stuff that you just normally wouldn't. But that doesn't make a person completely impervious to mistakes either, like Ninja Turtles and other things. Yeah,
sure.
I mean, listen, if I were an MMA promoter and someone sent me a picture of Bob Sapp, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but it's going to be gold either way.
Care
right?
if he can speak. I want this.
Yeah, please. No, that's fair enough.
Or Lashley?
Yes.
Lashley.
Well, I've heard
Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley.
Oh, Lashley?
Yeah.
God, that guy's such a freak.
It's an action figure.
Look, I think I've trained him for MMA and over the years for multiple fights. I've cornered him before too, and Bob has come and been a part of some of my camps.
Bob Sapp.
No, well,
oh, Bobby.
I trained Bobby Sapp. Okay. I've trained Bob Sapp too.
Right.
But yeah, Bobby Lashley. I just call him Bob. So, anyways, dang, he's such a sick freak, and to the point where, if him and Brock Lesnar were to face off and do 2 out of 3 for takedowns, I don't know who's going to win. In fact, I might even be convinced to bet on Bobby.
Hmm?
And that's not to say that Brock is bad. No, no, no. By no means am I actually casting any aspersions upon Brock Lesnar's wrestling abilities, because I know they're top notch. He's a stud. Guaranteed. I back it. Bobby is slept on for his amateur wrestling. And I've wrestled Tony Nelson, who's a two-time NCAA champion, he can be anywhere from high 240s if he wants to really diet down, or wrestle hard at 280. The guy is a beast from Minnesota. I've wrestled Matt Yushchenko and Mark Coleman and Tom Erickson. I have wrestled tons and tons of the highest level type caliber guys you can come across in the U.S. Reese Andy and I were training partners. He's NCAA runner-up twice. Threw Les Gutchess and pinned him with a headlock. It was great. Bob, you get in on this dude, and it's so nuts. He's, at that time, he's probably like 250. And I'm in on a single, and I'm trying to run the pipe. I'm moving him around, and I step in, elevate him. I think I've got, I've turked his underside leg. I think I got him going down. Like, I'm going to score it. And somehow, like a fucking cat, you know what I mean? With the butter-sided bread on it, that whole little meme. He just lands right on his all fours, pops back up, keeps fighting, and then goes after like three different takedown options off of every defense I throw, and then finishes. And I just go, yeah, fuck you, Bob. That's some bullshit. I'm maybe gonna pull the Blathleticism card. I'm just gonna say, like, you're just nuts. Like, it's insane how much you're able to manage this sort of thing. But I have taken Bobby down before, and you know it's true, Bobby. Come on. You got to know it. You got to admit it. So I've taken Bobby down, but the score is still in his favor. Like, he's one of the sickest athletes I've ever come across, and incredible wrestler. I love how smooth he is and how quick his transitions can be. And one guy at the gym was going to spar him, and he tells me later, he goes, he sees Bobby across the ring. He's like, all right, they're doing MMA sparring. They got the MMA gloves on. He's looking at him. And he feels like, he basically describes it as if Bobby's on one side of the cage and he's on the other. And Bobby basically makes a level change. And the guy's thinking, there's no way he's going to shoot front. And all of a sudden, he's in on him from some insane distance as fast as he could blink. And down he goes.
How do we get Bobby Lashley on Bloodsport?
Fuck, it's impossible.
How do we get Bob Sapp on Bloodsport? I like
now that is that's more doable.
I'll mark
out. I'd have to track him down somewhere. I think he's living out in Southeast Asia, in behind a bunch of outcroppings of banana trees, just hiding back there. I don't know.
Up palm trees.
Just living the easy life.
Is it true he tells promoters now? I don't know what he was like when he was a little younger. Hey, you got me for 3 minutes and then I'm gone. Like, have you heard that? Or is that?
Look, when I trained Bob Sapp, he was 100% all in, and he trained his fucking ass off. He worked hard.
Is he as strong as he looks?
He's strong as shit. But I have there's a scale I've created. I just call it the Mark Coleman scale. The strongest you can be is Mark Coleman.
Oh.
And then anything over that is you can add maybe more weight into something or have more leverage, but you cannot be stronger than Mark Coleman. There's Mark Coleman, and then everything else is like, little other aspects influencing that. But like, you're just your pure muscle strength. You can be Mark Coleman strong, and that's it. That's number one.
Yeah, he's doing much better. I saw videos. He's like training again.
He is, but what you need to understand about Coleman is that he is a man with a raging hot fire inside that dude. And he is one of the best storytellers I've ever come across. Just a very lovely, hilarious. He's a really considerate, good dude. And I love Mark Coleman. And there is no but to this. Yeah. Or I guess there is, but not in terms of that. The but is that if he is turning it on to that combat mentality state, man, that dude, he has got he's got a fire inside him. In a Nietzschean way, he's someone full of like insane amounts of vitality when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, that spark doesn't kick off, it fucking ignites immediately. And watching him talk about fighting or talk about even wrestling, about who may have gotten a takedown on him or not, you know, he just boom, right through the roof. And in one sense, it's really impressive to see a man who has done as much as he has, who is at his age now, And athletes like us, when we get to these older parts of our lives.
You're telling me.
I'm done. Back me up on this, Skakel.
got my last name right. I should leave now.
Bro, I told you.
Skankle, Skunkle.
No, I'm not trying to make fun of you. That would be a cheap way.
What if you did? What am I going to do? Kick your ass?
I mean.
I'd take one shot.
Look, I could punch you, but at the end of the day, I'd still lose the war because everyone would already. Well, not on your end because you're like, fuck my teeth. I'd like them back. But anybody observing would say, well, okay, yeah, we already knew you were going to beat up Earl Skakel, but. He didn't attack you by throwing hands. He came at you with comedy. And so you got to try and match him in that sense. And therefore, you just conceded.
I was trying to hit you with my Fedor looping right.
Is that a your mama joke?
Yeah. Can we get him to stop fighting?
I think he is done.
He does. He was there at the retirement.
Yeah. I fully believe he's done.
Like I gotta be
it's honest. Not, it's not like Ric Flair, like one last match.
But Bloodsport, like Bloodsport 13 maybe. I don't know. I get sad though.
Like, can we be serious for a second? Like, I cried when
I was serious the whole time.
But like, I don't want him to like. I don't want to see these guys. Like, he's like one of my not idols because I don't do MMA. But like, I'm a huge fan.
You can idolize him.
I don't know if that's the right word, but he is. Yeah, I mean, like, if I can say that, then he is one of my idols.
All right.
Like, seeing him, Randall.
Embrace it. Embrace it.
I bought Price tickets to see you at the Affliction thing with him and Trump. No, I'm not trying. I'm just saying I bought the ticket.
Wanted to take the ride, but yeah.
Two of my all-time favorites. Like, this. Can you just maybe pick up the phone and go, hey, dude?
I truly believe that his last fight with Bader was it. Yeah. That was it. That was a finito. And he's... I think he's content with his career. I would imagine he doesn't love every aspect of it, but that's fine. You know, I don't think most people even get that opportunity. And even then, if you were the undefeated guy, there's probably something back there where maybe you or I wouldn't be able to pick it out, but they have a problem with it, right?
Yeah. You think he wishes he fought it like a little earlier in his career in the UFC, like maybe against you and like... You know, Lesnar and like,
well, I mean, he wasn't capable in terms of his notoriety of getting the position to have the matchups that he would have liked until about 2003, I think. Right? He didn't really like really burst onto the scene and become that dominant figure. Well, no, I guess it would have been 2002. Could it have been 02, 03? Maybe it was 03 or 02.
I think it was after he beat Hongman Choi.
Well, I say that because 02 was Bob Sapp versus Nogueira, I believe. But at that point, I'm trying to remember, you know, and I could be wrong, and that's fine if you guys out there on the internet want to tell me I'm incorrect. I don't mind here.
Tell it to his face.
Yeah.
What was that luck?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you buy me a drink or a nice sandwich, it'll go over a lot better.
It's a done deal.
But for you, Errol.
Errol? Who's Errol?
Errol. Pastrami.
Call me Errol. What am I going to do? Roast beef between two buns.
Oh, God.
I should listen.
No, I don't. Look, we're doing it.
We're okay.
We're doing it.
All right. Well, all right. We'll get there. Oh, anyways. So I don't know if Fedor would have been able to. Maybe the best point of leveraging his name value, his name value as a fighter and his record and everything. Maybe that was just like there was a sweet spot that had to be hit where we would have been in different places. But either way, yeah, it would have been great to have fought him, just to fight him, just to see how it goes.
Do you think a guy like Dana White, you know, like speaking of Sting, you know, it's always rumored that Vince McMahon held it against him that he never went to the WWE. So there was a bit of like, oh, fuck you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think Dana was like, oh, you tried to low?
Very easily it could have been the case. And
because him and Couture were close to fighting in the UFC, right? I mean,
I have no idea. Okay. I mean, they weren't even that close to fighting an Affliction. But
scratch that question.
but there's a lot of fights that I think people would have wanted to have seen with him and UFC fighters, but it's just of my opinion that when we were all in Pride, I don't think anyone in the UFC would have been able to have beaten Fedor or me even at that time.
Not even Paul Bonatello, the headhunter. Sorry.
What was it? Don't fear me, fear the consequences.
I'm obsessed with him.
He's a good dude. I love Paul Bontello.
I can take a beating. And Fabricio Maldonado, when they made him fight Miocic, because
I forget
the circumstances, but Miocic, the guy backed out, so they're like, hey, you want to fight Miocic? We'll make it worth your while. He just took a beating for three rounds. Like, it's like Rocky. It's like,
yeah, back when Miocic actually boxed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't box much at all anymore. He throws, but that boxing aspect, I just don't see it.
Do you think he has a chance against Jones?
No.
Yeah, I was kind of like, maybe. It's been so long. He might be a little rusty. Nope. First round.
No, Miocic is just, he's been through too many wars.
I got to be honest.
Jones like that.
Yeah. I went on some podcast and said, I picked Gon, and there's no way Jones will submit him. Just because I thought Gon's...
I would have liked to have seen on one end, because Gon is seen as the heavyweight. Even though Jones is big enough to be a heavyweight, he's always going to be seen as the weight class below, right? So it's always going to be like, oh, the smaller guy came up and beat the big. So I wanted to see Gon win just so I could say, yeah, stay down in your weight class. But Jones, I didn't really have any real strong feeling that Gon had an option to win that fight. Not because Gon's bad, although now I'm reading stuff like Gon says, I only train when I have a fight coming up. It's like, well, that's dumb as shit, but whatever, because generally people with that attitude are particularly gifted in athletic sense, and they don't realize until it's too late when some of those gifts decline to a certain potential, to a certain point. It doesn't have to be all the way, but it just has to be just to a certain point. All of a sudden, everything fucking unravels. Yeah. And you don't know it until you're in it. And if you're not capable of understanding it, planning ahead of it, and having ways to mitigate those issues. It's like, you remember Roy Jones just absolutely embarrassing everyone? He just made people look like they didn't even belong in the ring with him, let alone how did this guy get a professional boxing card? Yeah. Because Jones was just so dominant. And then there was just a point where all of a sudden, boom, that all changed, and it has never been the same since. And you'd almost say, well, with all the skill and technique he had, perhaps if he lost even just a hundredth of a second off of what he did in terms of his timing and his speed, maybe that was all it took.
I mean, hell, I thought James Toney was going to be Couture. Here's what I envisioned.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
I'm being serious.
All right. I thought
Couture's going to go for a double.
Yeah.
And Toney, who was known for his timing, is going to just time the uppercut. And he was a little slow on the punch, and then you could tell he had done no training on the ground. I've never seen a guy get taken down and look at the ref and go.
I thought it was so brilliant that Couture just shot a low single. Just whoop, and his foot up, and Tony's like, I could just only imagine all the insults and racial epithets and every awful thing that Tony would have came out of Tony's big talking mouth as he's hitting the floor. Fuck you, motherfucking ball, motherfucker. He just down all the way, James Toney's a character, but man, super middleweight all the way up to heavyweight, and would just still rip people. Great defense in his prime.
But I really just thought, oh, he's just going to time the uppercut. Couture's going to take one. And
this is why we don't follow your bets.
100%. Yeah. I had Tex Cobb against Larry Holmes. Look how wrong that was. That's for the older folks in the room.
Not even if it was a karate fight.
He was good in karate.
Yeah, but Larry, did you know that Larry Holmes is a wrestler?
I did not know that.
And he will jump off the top of the fucking hood of a car on your ass if you run your mouth.
Against Trevor Burbick.
Wow. Oh, can you imagine that gap tooth just taking flight, just going to fuck you up? That would be scary. Big old brickhead Larry Holmes.
Yeah, but just the fact that Tex Cobb just laughed at him the whole fight.
No, Larry Holmes probably was like, that's the craziest white boy I've ever seen in my life.
Funniest, I'm from the roasting world, roast battle roasting. It's the funniest roast I've ever seen is Tex Cobb doing Larry Holmes in a room full of black people.
Oh,
I'll just say this: Tex Cobb was fearless.
Oh, well, he would,
and they loved him.
He would. Who wouldn't? Tex Cobb is amazing. He is one of those few individuals in the entertainment industry. The people got to know him from things like what?
Raising Arizona.
Yes.
Uncommon Belle.
Right. Golden Child.
Yeah.
Oh, other stuff. You watch his old interviews. That
he's very
guy's
quick.
Oh, man. He's quick. He is funny as shit. And great timing, right?
And as a kickboxer, I saw him get knocked down 4 times at the country club in Reseda. Like, it was kind of similar to Fedor vibe. Like, oh man, I hope he doesn't fight much longer. But thank God he got an act.
But Larry Holmes is street. He can fight his ass off. Also, super underrated boxer. I love Larry Holmes. His jab was just something to see.
Well, I always felt bad for him because, being the age I am, 54, I grew up watching heavyweights in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you had Foreman, Ollie and Frazier in their prime. But then the second group was any other era. Like, my favorite boxer of all time is Ron Lyle. But he was in prison for 7 years in his prime. But he knocked down Foreman 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, they would have been champion, Ernie Shavers, Ken Horton. And I think Larry Holmes suffered from, he didn't have that great rivalry. Like, he had to fight Tim Witherspoon.
He didn't have a great rivalry. It could have been Cooney if it worked out right.
Wrong color for box.
Cooney was pretty fucking tough,
too. Put him up against Peter McNeely next. Fuck out of here.
Wait.
I'm sorry. Cooney. I'm coming in hot. I'm not realizing.
Cooney was, I'm just saying that would have been something he could have made a ton of money off of.
But I just felt like he was in that, and maybe it's in the MMA.
The Sphinx obviously wasn't going to deal with him.
Like, there was that. Well, just the last thing I'm going to say, and then Eddie's going to take over.
We have basically avoided any of his questions.
I think I started
like 3 things and didn't finish them, but whatever. Yeah, go.
I'm at Staples Center for Klitschko and Lennox Lewis, just by myself, 50-yard line seats.
No one else there.
Leon Spinks sits right next to me, and he's already swaying in his seat. Oh. And he says to me, "Hey, man, what arena are we in?" No, we're at Staples. I perform. Fuck out of here, you gap-toothed bastard.
Right. Isn't he an Olympian?
He wasn't that night. He didn't know what arena he was in.
That's wild.
All right, Eddie, take
over. He got skakeled.
I'm going to be quiet the next 10 minutes.
All I really have is the lineup of matches for Bloodsport.
Okay,
that's all.
Lay them out to me.
That's all.
What do you got? What do you got?
Well, no, I did have a couple questions.
Eduardo.
Specifically, Davey Richards retiring. Are you replacing him? Is he doing the match? What's going on with that? Because he's facing Mox. That's a big match on the card.
He's facing you now.
Oh, he's facing me? Sweet. I'm in. No, but for real, I mean, I don't know. Is that something? Because he's came out, said that he was.
Yeah, it's hard to have a guy who is retired run into your ring and do a match, because that's kind of the opposite of retired, isn't it?
Yes.
We'll sort it out.
I can get you Tab Thacker's phone number. It's
Tab
name for
Thacker.
Tab Thacker.
How about God? What? He's got a hard name to remember. Erlen Van Lint.
I'll make a call.
Nobody knows who the fuck I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about?
Do you think people know who Tab Thacker was? I think the last thing he did was that movie with Goldie Hawn in 1986. Come on.
John Matuszak.
I met him once at my dad's pharmacy.
Wait, your dad's a pharmacy?
No, it was just a pharmacy he went to.
Oh, okay.
And
I was going to say, you can't get more serotonin.
I almost did a spit take.
He was in my favorite episode of Miami Vice, season 3. Viking Bikers from Hell with Reb Brown and Sonny Landham.
Reb Brown and Sonny Landham? I guess he was a pain in the ass to work with on Predator.
Yeah, they had to hire security because he was so just out of control. Like, he was uncontrollable. So,
like a method actor kind of thing, maybe?
No, he was just on drugs or whatever, And
I've heard Yaphet Kotto is a wild one. Not that way. But great, just like an interesting dude.
Star Chambers is best work.
I love Yaphet Kotto. Yaphet Kotto, if this reaches you.
Well, he's dead, so it's not going to reach
him. No, this could still reach him. Poltergeist.
Hey, we're in the comedy store. Says, this place is haunted.
Yeah, look. Don't tell me what spirits can't see.
Yeah, the ghosts here are going to relay the
message. Star chamber.
So, Yaphet Kotto, if this reaches you, wherever you may be, hanging out with Papa Shango and what are the other deities of voodoo?
That's about it.
Elegua?
No, there's a whole bunch. Yeah, Legba. Elegua. Yeah, Legba. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big Matuzak guy.
I hope you're doing well, Yaphet. I really appreciated everything you've done. And I bet you'd really like John Matuzak, too.
I mean, a number one pick overall. I mean, I'm assuming we're of the – you've seen North Dallas 40? Mm. I think it's the best sports – I think it's the most realistic sports movie.
The Rolfing scene is pretty funny. Chris Christopherson and
– No, that's semi-tough.
Oh, my bad.
Nick Nolte, Mac Davis.
Yeah, North Dallas 40. That's one about the Cowboys, basically.
And the
allegedly.
Yeah, I just – he was so good in that. And, you know, just – I don't buy really Mac Davis as an NFL quarterback, but like, hey, whatever.
didn't George Plimpton? Oh, he tried kicker, didn't he?
He tried kicker, and I read his book when he was a goalie for the Boston Bruins, and they were just ripping him with shots. But I'll give him this. He had the balls faced like Bobby Orr shot.
Yeah.
Like,
no, Plimpton, he walked the walk.
Matuzak, Sloth from the Goonies.
That's right. He did do Sloth. But I also remember him in Ice Pirates. He was great in that.
And Caveman with Ringo Starr.
Caveman with Ringo Starr.
I knew
it was it Leela? Wasn't that her name?
Barbara Bach.
Yeah. And Ringo Starr was trying to get her, and Matuzak was running around. And there was no real dialogue in the movie other than just like Caveman speak.
I mean, that's prime booger sugar years for Matuzak. Sure. Like... keep the lines low.
Yeah, I had that Canadian or that Colombian snow. Yeah.
He was just so. He doesn't get the credit for being such a good football player because of his off-field antics, but like
he was quite the character.
Eddie, take over, man. I mean, how cool is it that look at the name?
Welcome back to another episode of Inappropriate Earl.
No,
at the Comedy Snob.
This is wrestling podcast, and we're talking about Tex Cobb and John Matuzak.
They could easily be wrestlers. Right. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Mr. T could do it. Which I was telling people they had to watch Rocky III the other day because it was on Prime for free.
Yeah,
Thunderlip.
Although, if you watch Rocky III, you go, "Oh, why? Rocky IV is Rocky III, but we're the Russian." Fuck.
Yeah. I liked 4, though.
I love 4. I love 3.
A lot of people don't, but I
love 3, too. I love 4, great. 3.
It fit the
era. I'll watch 2. 1 is a great one.
How about 5?
The best. Tom. You know what? that is the that's the one that like causes friendships to split apart. And here's the thing. I remember liking Rocky 5 okay.
It was all right.
And I like the fact that it wasn't about could he win in a boxing ring. They get into this whole street fight out in front of wherever, and he fucking backdrop suplexes Tommy Morrison onto the hood of a car. I love it.
Well, I mean, I think people forget how I'm being serious. Like Tommy Morrison.
Oh, now you're serious.
Tommy Morrison. That was the old Booker here who got fired. Well, I mean, but Tommy Morrison was a great boxer.
He was a good puncher. Yeah.
But then I think it was Ray Mercer. That the way he got knocked out by Ray Mercer was he was never the same.
Didn't he lose? He lost Foreman too.
He lost to an. I wish I didn't know we were going to bring up Tommy Morrison on a wrestling podcast.
Or Crawford Grimsley.
He took a fight that he wasn't supposed. It was very much like Tyson took the Douglas fight, which was not the original plan. He was supposed to wait and fight, I think, Holyfield down the line. And Morrison took a fight that he was supposed to kill the guy, and the guy killed him, and then he was like never could recover. So. Good actor.
Stone. Oh, wait, that was Brian.
No, that was Brian Bosworth.
You already know I was going to say Stone Cold.
Lance Henriksen.
Yes, that's right.
Chains. That was his name in the movie. Eddie, come on, man. Take over.
So, yeah, we have to do something about that old Davey Wesley Richards thing, and it sucks.
It's got to be annoying.
Yeah.
So close
well,
to the
it's not just annoying. You know, it's just awful all in general.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the
whole
situation
sucks. I hope the best
sucks.
For the whole thing. Whatever could be the best outcome of all this, I hope for that. That's it.
Well, I mean, it's a big, it's one of the bigger names on the card, Mox, is who he was facing. So it's going to, I mean, I know there's a lot of scrambling going on, but you also got, you pulled a coup. You brought Ibushi. First match out of New Japan since his absence. How did you pull that? What'd you do? I mean, how long have you known Ibushi? That's the question, I think.
I just talked to a dude. Just said, hey, what's up? And he goes, hey, nice to see you. That's it. And I didn't really even know that he would be really willing to do Bloodsport until I saw this interview. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, I guess I better follow up with him. Glad that he's coming. And I can only expect something electric because no one's ever seen him in an environment like this. But also, he's known for being a really dynamic wrestler. And I've called plenty of his matches. He's got a great karate background. There was talk about him fighting Manny Pacquiao in some sort of a thing in Ryzen. Yeah, I don't know what they were working on with that. And I don't even know where it's at. Not my business. But to be honest, I didn't know about New Japan or any injuries or like I wasn't that hip.
Perfect timing.
What's going on? Yeah, I just was like, hey, if you ever want to do Bloodsport, I'd love to have you. I think it'd be great. I think you could display a lot of your martial arts prowess. And, you know, we pride ourselves in putting together a place where athletes can really shine. And he was favorable to it. And then, yeah, I saw an interview online on how he intends to, that's what he wants to do. Like, well, fuck yeah, I'll do whatever I can to try and make that happen.
Oh, hell yeah, man. You've managed to, like I said, it's the first match back. The internet was in a frenzy. Like, what the fuck?
Well, that's true. And I remember somebody asking me what sort of impression that got. And I just went, yeah, well, between only two accounts, it's over a million
nice.
Of people looking at this stuff. So they're very interested.
How familiar are you with Ibushi?
That's the guy who AEW, he had a few matches.
Nope.
Oh, then I don't know here's the thing.
Kushta? Is that who you're
thinking? No, the bald guy who went had a few matches in AEW.
Oh, Ishii.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No.
You know, they all look alike to me.
So the reason
I'm new to New Japan.
You new to new?
New to new.
Eddie took me to my first New Japan. What was that? A year ago.
Yeah, at the Vermont. Yeah. We did the strong one of the strong tapings.
So I'm. I love it now because it's a little more realistic.
Okay.
Or not, I mean,
harder hitting, strong style.
And I'm a big fan of Will Ospreay.
Yeah. Well, his number one guy, the reason I'm bringing this up is because your number one guy is Kenny.
Yes.
You should go back since you watch Wrestle Kingdom, you have New Japan World.
Let me tell you, that website, I don't know who made it, but. I mean,
it's rough.
What was it made off of? CompuServe?
It's 14, bad.
I mean,
but anyway, go back and
watch.
Say
14,400 baud modem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to watch Omega and Ospreay. You know, what was it? The Wrestle Kingdom 17.
0-0. Yeah.
And, you know, it took a minute to get this website going. I'm just saying they've got the cash.
If you clear your cache and you remove all the porn.
A lot of .org sites,
yeah,
trust
a lot
me.
The .orgs, .tvs.
You should go back because he and Kenny were tag partners. They were the Golden Lovers.
Oh, the Golden Lovers. Oh, that's where they draw the inference that there may be.
I don't know.
I don't. If you don't know, I don't know.
I mean, what inference? They're the Golden Lovers. That's in the name.
Listen, I don't
care.
More
of an implication than an inference.
Right.
He is my Omega is my guy.
I mean,
he could do no wrong, in my opinion.
Probably does it better.
I mean, I just, but I'm almost, I'm new to him as well. Like I, you know, New Japan's not that well promoted in America. Like,
so you're getting that, like, first time fresh panty smell is what you're saying.
I mean, let's put it this way. I bought a few Omega t-shirts.
Well, and only one of mine. Jesus.
That's
a lot of love.
Who's Omega fighting?
The El Hijo del Vikingo. That guy from AAA.
But I've never heard of that guy before.
You don't know who that guy is.
Vikingo?
Hijo del Vikingo, the son.
Wait, oh.
He's 25. Wait,
Vikingo and Hijo de Vikingo?
Yeah, he just did GCW. Like, he did a match.
Well, one of them wrestled Morrison, who I train. So,
Johnny Hannigan?
Nitro.
Oh, Johnny Hannigan, Nitro, Morrison, Bloodsport.
He's Johnny Comedy when he's here.
Johnny Comedy, yeah.
He's Johnny Bloodsport on this lineup.
Yeah, I tried to market him as John Hannigan, and then the whole internet's like, we're not listening to you.
Yeah, fuck
Johnny
that.
Bloodsport. And I was like, well, okay, I guess he is.
Fuck. He's up against Royce, who was here last, or I called him Hoyce.
Yeah, Hoyce Grace.
You want Hoyce, to, don't you?
Isaac.
Hoyce Isaac.
I hope you apologize right away. I wasn't here last week for the record. I was on assignment.
He was Royce was upset, though. He was like, Earl's part of the tribe. Where is he?
Oh, yeah. You upset your fellow Ashkenazi, man.
Well, you know, it's not a lot of Jews. You know, like Jews.
Wait, what?
It's not a lot of Jews and you know, who are out about it. Like,
what?
Are out? Like
about it? What are we going on about? We're in LA.
How many athletes go, I'm look, Jewish?
Oh.
All the ones.
Not many.
Mitzvah-mania that's happening that weekend too. By the way.
Outside of MJF.
Outside of MJF.
Not, I mean, he has bar mitzvah on Dynamite the other night.
Did you watch that? That
was No.
It was pretty much. Simon
Gotch. He's Jewish. He's Ashkenazi.
Oh, there we go.
How many Jewish MMA fighters? Like, I can't recall one guy coming to the cage in a yarmulke.
No, but I mean, but come on, Earl. You know their answer. The cut to that guy's got to check it.
Well, the Dagestani guys, would they be considered like Russian Jews or no?
Ooh.
No, I'm actually
saying right now, don't even.
Oh, is that a pain?
No, they're Muslims.
Oh, sorry.
Don't do that.
Timestamp. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I wasn't trying to be funny. I really Russian. There's Russian Jews.
I'm not saying yes. I know that, of course.
But none of them are fighting.
Maybe there are, but I mean, Dagestan, like the Dagestanis though are they, not.
Okay, no, I don't.
Or the Chechens, nor the. No, actually, Georgians are mostly Christian, but fuck they. Well, they might all. Any one of them could get particularly perturbed only because they've chosen a specific way of worship, right? So if you say it's anything other than that,
no, I meant no disrespect. I really meant no disrespect.
No disrespect.
But like when I used to do comedy in the South, I had some jokes about being Jewish. The club owner, okay, you can't say you're Jewish around here. Like what?
What do you mean? What
are you talking about? It's crazy how some of the world is.
Well, yeah, no. Simon Grimm Gotch, whichever he's going by, he's Ashkenazi. You said something.
MJF.
MJF is it's not hard to miss that. Oh, I was going to say the reason without the non-yarmulke stuff is like most Ashkenazi Jews are secular, right? They usually don't wear any of the religious regalia or anything like that. And then the Hasidics and the Ashkenazi regulars usually don't get along.
Well, that would be funny to see a guy come to the octagon and have like the Israeli star on his ass. Like that'd be pretty funny.
You know what? There was a guy, I think, that was kind of doing that gimmick, but I think he got himself canceled.
Oh, was that the guy who had his chest hair and an arrow? No. Remember that guy?
Ryan Ebersole? No. No, that guy was great.
Well, he wasn't that good.
Well, he was always good for a scrap.
Oh, 100%.
There's plenty of Israeli MMA cats. We had a guy when I was at CSW, Jackie Gosch, very tough. He was Israeli, which I would imagine that also would make him Jewish, but I don't think he's religious in any way, so he ain't going to see any yarmulkes. Although, I don't know, Jackie, you can wear yarmulkes anything you want.
Hey, whatever, man. I'm sure you could kick my ass. So like,
he's
whatever.
Pretty tough. He was pretty tough. I think he's still fighting, too.
I think all MMA guys are and women are tough. Mm. It's not like I've ever watched a UFC or Bellator or,
there's some ones that aren't that
elite. Well, your version of tough and mine, pretty much anyone who gets in the cage, I admire. Like,
bro,
you know.
Trust me, I've been to some places where you would have been a step up.
I mean, I could handle myself if I have to.
Oh, I believe it. In these mean streets of L.A.
West Hollywood. Yeah. Really.
Very handsy.
Separate the men from grabby. The boys with a crowbar.
Oh, man. All right.
All right, Eddie. Come on. What else you got?
Back to Bloodsport. No, I wanted to ask you, since, you know, you have Mox and Johnny Bloodsport and, you got some AEW talent as well. Marina Shafir's, doing good stuff there. Jeff Cobb. Is there anybody in AEW or WWE that you want on a Bloodsport card if you had, like,
I want Shayna Baszler.
Okay. Well, obviously, the student.
100%. This is, if there was anywhere else that was really meant for her, it's this.
I mean, I don't think it's that far off as a possibility. There were rumors that WWE was working with GCW for a bit.
No.
It was like rumors.
No, those rumors were really incorrect.
All right.
Whatever that could have been isn't how the rumors were trying to describe it. They didn't understand.
Okay.
As much as I have good relationships with the people in WWE, they're very protective of their talent. And so even if I was proposing to do something where I was just nothing but elevating that talent, they really have a big control on what they do and where they go. And, you know, I understand it. And I wish I could use WWE talent, some of them. There's some very quality people there. But, it's a different kind of machine.
What about AEW? Because they're a little more open to it. You've got a couple of
Is there anybody there? Malakai Black, of course.
Yeah, dude. That would be dope.
Yeah, I would love to have him on here. And I've spoke to him about it, as well as Samoa Joe. I would like him, dude. Kyle O'Reilly, and
Kyle O'Reilly would be
Brian,
great.
Brian Danielson.
Dude. Yeah, because
he's a Washington boy like me, although he's from the countryside out in Aberdeen, whereas I'm from the city in Seattle. But I had family that lived down in that area, down southwest. But we've been on the road together. We've trained together some. I've actually coached him a little bit on some amount of submission catch stuff. But he's a phenomenal example of professional wrestling, where he would go to do jiu-jitsu and submission wrestling and all this kind of stuff on his own time to just become a better wrestler, by and large, whether he's going to go out and work matches or really fight someone. It's really, really, really commendable.
Did you train him for his match against Kamala?
I don't think he had a match.
He did.
Kamala.
He did.
What? And I sent him a video.
Wow.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace for real, man. He's lucky to get something like that.
I have two dolls of Kamala. One full body.
One's a sex doll.
Well, that's the third doll, but I don't talk about that one. One has both legs and the other chopped off at the kneecaps.
Oh.
He lost his...
Diabetes Kamala?
Yeah. What a shock that... Never mind.
I think Kamala was incredible. I remember watching him as a kid. What a character. Like, he just lit up the screen.
When they, you know, what they, when he was in Crockett's promotion,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't a humor character, people thought he was like,
oh, I could believe that, yeah.
Kids cry.
He's a big dude, and he's coming down the ring, seeming like he's this savage from the African,
Uganda
jungles, right? Like, he's from somewhere where they don't have towns or whatever, and we brought this dude, and all he does is wrestle and mess people up, and it was. It would be a really scary thing to a kid in the 80s to see this dude get in there, grab your hometown face, and just start beating the shit out of him, right? It would be, I'd be lightning in a bottle.
He was the first person to body slam Andre the Giant.
Kamala was?
Yeah.
I thought him, Hogan, Stan Hansen, like they had done
Kamala did it before. There was, I think it was like 82, 81.
There was, I know, I just... I was watching a little clip thing on YouTube, Vintage Pro Wrestling. No, Twitter.
I like that.
And it was Stan Hansen and Andre just slamming each other back and forth. And Hogan and Andre had done the slam stuff long before they ever got to WrestleMania 3.
I believe Kamala was the first.
Maybe. But you know what that would have been indicative of? Which is even cooler, to be honest. It's not even about strength. The fact that Andre liked you, trusted you well enough to do it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that is Andre doing it for you. And Andre was, if you go out there and look, there are pictures of Andre from, JWA, I think it was, 70s wrestling in Japan with Billy Robinson and Carl Gotch. They did a six-man or something like that. Can you imagine having that as a six-man? Like, you know you're not going to win. And Andre had abs.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, someone sent me a six-man from Japan. It was kind of sad. It was the Giant Baba, Andre, and Abdullah the Butcher, and two jobbers who were probably like I don't know, maybe my size, a little smaller even. And they did all the work. So it was so sad to watch. Like, Andre could barely move. Baba looked like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Baba really struggled to be able to move around the ring. It used to be to the point where you'd have to bump him near the rope so he can get up.
Yeah, and, it was that.
Yeah.
Abdullah was the most nimble. Abdullah the Butcher looked like the Young Bucks.
There's a Japanese action movie with him in it where he plays some character, and he's doing kung fu moves all over the screen and everything like that. Something Fire, Roaring Fire, I think it's called. Wow. You can find it on YouTube.
Must be on Laserdisc. He was a karate, I don't want to say expert, but he was proficient.
I guess
proficient.
That was apparently correct. Mm-hmm. You know. I just want to hear stories. The stories I ever heard about Abby were from Jeff Osborne, of Hook and Shoot fame. If you guys probably don't know what that is, Jeff Osborne's a worker who respected and loved the business and understood it, and he started an MMA promotion, and he called it Hook and Shoot. So that should tell you how much he knows what he's talking about. Hookers and shooters. We're not talking about promiscuous ladies.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. But in fact, you know, hookers were guys that were brought in to break people's limbs. You know, oh, this guy, he needs to be taken out. Rap, hook him. You'd put him in a hook. You'd hook him in a submission, and that's done. And shooters were people that just fought for real. So Hook and Shoot, he called it, out of Evansville. And he'd tell me stories about working in the territories. And, you know, he's just a guy, right? He's not any of these big dudes that they're making a bunch of money off of, but he's out there working. And he said Abby would play poker everywhere he went, or cards of some sort, all the time, winning money off of people, rings all across his fingers, and he could take a playing card and scrunch his head and stick it in the folds.
Oh
yeah. Oh, he got stories about Lawler, all kinds of people. If you can ever get Jeff Osborne on this show, man, it'd be a fucking blast. And he's hilarious as shit, but you have to get him from Evansville, Indiana. And the problem is probably no one considers him to be famous enough to talk to, but goddamn, is that guy full of shit that people would want to hear.
Maybe he could get my Abdullah the Butcher doll signed. I have one.
Yeah, maybe.
I did eat at his rib joint in Atlanta once. The food, you know, food was disgusting.
Oh, that's too bad.
He probably made
it. If you can bring Seth Simon Gotch in, about to.
Oh, yeah.
About to put his real name out there, and he's got to give a stripper name. If you bring Simon Gotch on here, he's got good stories.
Yeah, yeah. I had him on my RRBG. He was great. He was great. I'd love to bring him in here. He's done Bloodsport a few times.
I would have him involved in Bloodsport in some fashion in every one if I could. Mm. Good dude. Great hand.
Does anyone need like a heel manager? Maybe I can come in.
Unfortunately, not that kind of show.
No.
But yes, actually, someone does need a heel manager in this business, and you could absolutely fulfill that.
I'll draw heat like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I have no doubt.
I'll say anything.
No, I know. I know.
I got into trouble here, so I gotta be cool on.
Yeah, not on the show, dude.
What? Oh,
I'm a face at the comedy store now. I'm a full face.
Yep. Just sick the ADL on him.
This
good.
Is like right now. This version of Earl is like when Nikita Koloff joined Dusty Rhodes. Like I'm a face. But and your wrestling promotion. If this gentleman needs a heel or a woman, I could draw heat.
I have no doubt. Yeah, our show is a real. Straight up show. We don't really do like managers and valets and that kind of thing. But pro wrestling could 100% use a real heel manager.
Yep.
They were incredibly important to that process back in the day. The Cornettes and the Grand Wizards. And
oh, he's my favorite.
And
Mr. Fuji. God,
what is that guy? Well, yeah, Mr. Fuji.
Gary Fantastic. Hart.
Gary Hart.
You know my brother. Slick. Slick. A slightly racist character, but like we'll get past that.
There was also, I'm forgetting so many names. Oh, Classy Freddie Blassie.
Oh.
And then there was a dude that managed, he managed,
Colonel De Beers.
Well, there was him too, but this guy was earlier. He did Abdullah the Butcher. He
Gary
also
Hart.
Did Gary Hart was great. He would get up there, call you some cracker, whatever, and talk about pulling a gun on you.
But it's speaking like, jive,
yes,
this is in an era where, you know, now it's funny, but back then it was like, why is this guy talking like this?
Yeah, but you also had Jim Barnett talking about my boy, and Gordon Solie. Vertical souplay. Yeah, it was a very different era, and loved all those people.
Lest we forget Paul Bearer.
Oh yeah, Percy Pringle.
Yeah, man.
But Gordon Solie trying. It's my favorite promo ever, where he's trying to conduct a serious interview with RoboCop. Like, it's the greatest to see this legendary, iconic wrestling figure and RoboCop.
Yeah.
I'm a Sid Vicious man myself.
I loved Sid Vicious. I saw him with Dan Spivey as the Twin Towers, and he picked this dude up into a crucifix position, spun him around, and let him go. And he fucking spun in the air like this. And I thought, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Ever.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's fucking like, wow, this jobber really did his work. But man, to see Vicious, he looked insane.
I thought he should have been bigger, like his look, not physically, but like, you know, he's popular. In that category.
I don't know what really held him back. I know at one point he got fired because some guy beat him up.
Arn Anderson in a bar. Knife. It was Arn Anderson.
Well, that's, no, this is a different one.
Was it Pillman with the squeegee?
It wasn't Pillman. It was a guy at the bar.
Oh, okay.
And then he came after the guy at the bar with the squeegee, and everyone looked at him and was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I also think his first promo with the Horseman, where he had to cut a live promo. They bring him out in the tuxedo. He looks great. He's got the Jerry curl. And, you know, Arn Anderson
traps
setting up the
everywhere, yeah.
The promo by Flair is going to take on Luger. We're going to take on this guy, and this man behind me, he's going to take on the bucket of bolts as RoboCop. And so he has to cut a promo on RoboCop.
Jesus Christ!
Better bring your WD-40, brother. You'll be crying from all the paint I put on you. You're going to be rusting.
RoboCop, I'm 6'9", 350 pounds, and I'm the real Man of Steel in the NWA, and you better learn to like it. And then Flair, 1 minute later, so he says I'm 6'9", 350 pounds. Flair, a minute later, coked up to the gills, is like, this man is 6'11", 370 pounds. And you could tell Sid was like, the look on his face, like, fuck, what do I say? What do I say? Like, he wasn't the best.
The biggest thing in this business,
he keeps
brother.
Growing during the promo. He grows.
Right. I mean, by the time they got to Barry Windham, he was 7'2".
You know, you got to wonder if some of that wasn't actually on purpose. Where the boys are out there like, oh, he just said he's, I'm just going to keep adding on to it. And then the next guy's going to pick it up. And the next guy, you better be able to roll with that. This is something where I think this podcast about wrestling is here at the Comedy Store. And we got Earl Skakel and talked about pro wrestling plenty of times on Joe Rogan's podcast. And there's a connection with pro wrestling to stand up. As well as things like magic as well. And everything that would be around the carnival.
Yep.
Well, I think it's very similar lifestyles. I mean, you know, in terms of the travel.
Yeah.
I always say comedy is like pro wrestling, MMA, without the working out. Like, for most people, like, outside of Carrot Top.
That's your Carrot Top, yeah.
I mean, me, Rogan, and Carrot Top probably have the best bodies in comedy.
Easily.
I'm not kidding. Even Rogan said I had the greatest body he'd ever seen.
Oh boy!
During roast battle, when I was jacked, dude.
You're just fucking just
for the
sweating.
TV taping, I took just like a pound of laxatives. I was like Tom Platz.
You had the curly hair.
They call me Baby Platz because my
Baby Platz.
God. Jesus. Have you considered you know, getting on Rogan's regimen of stuff to get more jacked now in your older
I do
years?
Take Onnit products. Alpha
right
Brain.
On, right on, yeah.
I did fuck up when he asked me to do the podcast. I messed up.
How did you mess up?
Comes up to me in the kitchen. In the Comedy Store kitchen. And he looks at me and goes, it's time you come on the podcast. And I said, all right, don't act too excited. Play it cool. Gives me his number, says, call me tomorrow. We'll have Jamie arrange it. and this is where being nice hurts me in this business. I said to myself, I'm not going to call him tomorrow. I'm going to call him in 2 days. Give him 1 day off from people wanting something from him. So I called him in 2 days, and he's very nice to me, but I could tell he forgot he asked me to be on the podcast, and then I panicked. I'm like, I should have told him what I'm telling you guys now. And I'm like, hey, Joe, I got this great idea for a guest for you. Like, he needs my help booking this podcast. No, it's a great, my buddy was in a Pakistani prison for 3 years. It's very much like that Brad Davis movie, Midnight Express.
Yeah, with the tits on the glass.
So,
yeah,
you know, he smuggled in hash. And so I was like, hey, you should have my friend on your podcast. Oh, my God. And then he hasn't asked me back since.
Well, they talked about you in your leather pants, remember?
Yeah, he said, well, Skakel's rich. No, Joe, you're rich. I can go into Erewhon and buy a sandwich.
That's pretty lofty. I mean, that's upper middle
Erewhon's
class.
Erewhon's no joke.
No, hey, you know, most people are taking out leveraging a mortgage against their house to do that.
I can,
a HELOC, yeah.
You know, I can take a girl out to Erewhon and buy her a Sammy.
Oh, all right.
And some sort of probiotic filled drink.
Well, the Fertittas are rich. That's rich to me.
It's pretty rich, yeah.
Although my leather pants I'll be wearing tonight in about an hour are custom made.
They're rich in their own sense.
I say you.
What Armenian did you get to make them?
Her name's Brooke Worrell. She makes custom clothes for Slash, me, and.
Oh.
I don't know who else.
Yes. You're talking about Hellbent for Leather, right?
Yes.
Yes. Brooke is very talented at leather work.
Unbelievable. And I pay full price.
Ooh.
Well, she's expensive, but not unreasonably so.
It's worth the wait and
well, I mean, all I'm saying is that, you know, it's not going to be cheap to get a piece of custom leather built for you. But when you get it, you realize why it cost what it did.
100%.
And yeah, this is just basically a Brooke Worrell Hellbent for Leather infomercial.
Well, we only bring it because Eddie brought up on Rogan's podcast, Joe.
His fancy leather pants.
The great Tony Hinchcliffe. We're talking about rich comics, and I don't know why my name was the first name brought up.
Your dad's got a pharmacy. He's funding all this.
Oh, John Matusak was the star client.
That could be a pretty expensive pharmacy bill.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure John was getting his, you know, I don't want to speak to John. I might have to go. I mean, I don't want to
drag this out longer so he has to go on stage in those shorts and
I can't. This is like Kiss without the makeup. I don't think you guys should end. I have to go. But you guys are vibing.
Yeah, totally.
So I got to go slap on my leathers.
Oh,
boy. Do you bring enough talcum powder to make sure you can slide them on?
Well, no, I got the...
like a powerlifting meet?
Brooke told me the secret. She told me Slash never washes his leather clothes. He just pours whiskey in the pants.
Hmm. What whiskey?
I know. I'm assuming he got it from Lemmy. You know, they were buddies.
Sure, yeah. The whiskey aging treatment for your leather.
So...
I feel like it would dehydrate it, but maybe not.
You guys got a lot of shit to talk about.
No, we don't. We're almost done. We're almost done.
Well, I don't want to wrap this up early, but I've talked so much. I think if Eddie were here one-on-one, we could equalize the speaking time.
Look at this guy.
I don't want to leave because I don't know when the next time I'm going to see a blood sport and I'm going to buy my ticket. It's probably sold out, right?
That'd be amazing if you could buy a ticket at this point.
Because I support my friends. Mm. Even though I'm Jewish. Well, you know, we're all...
Well, no, Jewish people support friends.
Yeah, but we're always asking for freebies.
That's true.
Let me think.
I mean, I do too.
I mean,
let me
think. Let's go
That's
to...
not just exclusively Jewish. That's I do that too.
I feel like L.A. It's I bought LA. Like all in L.A.
I like to support... We went to... what was that thing we went to? Is it
PCW Ultra.
I bought a Sid Vicious doll out of the box for $15.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Didn't have to. I probably could have got it for free.
You probably could have. You could have leveraged that.
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm the skake.
When I was at the Flair Roast, I bought a Lex Luger doll for $200. Got a picture taken with him.
With Lex Luger?
Let me tell you.
Yeah, dude. Rough.
Is he in a wheelchair now?
Yeah. And he was so fucking nice that he's like, young man, do you want me to autograph it? And it was still in the box, so he would have had to, you know, open it up. Mm-hmm. And something. I'm like, no, it's okay. He's like, no, I want to autograph it for you. And he grabs the pen like this. And I thought, this is going to be a jacked autograph. and it is like a machine. He must have gotten a technique down.
The reps.
Most perfect autograph I've ever seen. And I cried like a bunch of times that weekend.
All I know is you just got this image in my head of some sort of enfeebled Lex Luger trying to open and not realizing there's a sticker on the box, and he's trying.
That happened.
I'm like, oh man, that's not what I wanted to see in my head tonight.
Yeah. But he was so nice and like,
well, good. Like, that's good. I'm glad you had a good experience.
Magnum TA.
Magnum TA. All right. Yeah, broke neck. Yeah, yeah took him out the business.
I got down on my knees so he wouldn't have to look up. You know, like I'm sure he thought this is fucking loser. No, I thought because you know he's like sitting in the wheelchair like this. And I'm like, I'm going to get down on my knee. He probably thought I was going to marry him. I would have, too, back in the day.
Yeah, you would have. Not a far-fetched outcome.
But I'm going to leave.
No. Let's wrap up. I mean, look, last week I did all the talking because you didn't show up.
Well, I was on assignment.
On assignment.
Was at a Kings. I was at a hockey game.
Yeah, it's an assignment.
We can wrap it up. Let's just talk about you know the date. Bloodsport's
March 30th. I will be taking on Tim Thatcher, student,
ex WWE
student of mine, has also gotten to train under Billy Robinson and
most recently in AEW.
Yes, that's right. And great work in NOAH. And tough as they can be, it's a rematch. I wrestled them once before out in Buffalo at the Every Time I Die Tid the Season shows.
Oh, yes.
And I was able to get the pinfall. I beat him by a 3 count after a captured suplex. But this is Bloodsport. There's no pins. And it's been a while. I'm older. He's younger. And he's been off abroad sharpening his skills. So I don't know exactly which Tim Thatcher I'm going to run into. It could be a completely different animal. And I'm looking forward to it. I want to keep this fair.
Okay. So I can make him laugh and then you shoot him for a
double. I know.
Shoot him for a double. That's industry talk for you guys not knowing what a double is, you idiots. So I'm going in my heel character now.
So that's March 30th, 4 p.m. at the Ukrainian Cultural Center. You can order it online because it's sold out and you can't buy tickets to go. I'll be there, though. But you can order it is it Fight TV? Where's it going to be on?
It's on Fight TV. Okay. I don't quite understand all this rigmarole because I am older and therefore I scream at the television and all these things. But there's Fight Plus, which I think you will get. If you are subscribed to that, you can watch it in all the GCW content. Okay. But I imagine that if you're not subscribed to Fight Plus, you would be able to at least purchase it as a standalone.
Pay-per-view standalone?
Yeah, but...
get Fight Plus, because then you could watch Bloodsport and the Ric Flair roast.
With Earl Skakel.
Well,
I had a few jokes at
Okay, you heard that from Earl. That'll be at least... $250 to each of us now.
Fight it's Plus. So bad that when people download it, they upload it right back to me. That's a Skakel classic joke there.
It will be available streaming on Fight live. It has been sold out since end of January, early February.
Nice.
And you know, Ibushi versus Speedball Bailey. We have Jeff Cobb, Bad Dude Tito, Eric Hammer. Versus the big old Calvin Tankman out of Indianapolis, out of Indiana. We got Royce Isaacs versus Johnny Bloodsport, as you know, John Hennigan, John Morrison,
Johnny Mundo,
Johnny Cocksucker, Johnny all those, right?
I'd like to see that finish.
Who's also training under me right now for his boxing match in April on Creator Clash against Harley from Man versus Food. Epic Meal Time. Whatever. Some shit where a big
I used to love that show back in the day, but it's been rough for a while.
Man versus Food?
No. Epic Meal Time. They would make those enormous burgers. Like they would pack on the calories to see how many calories they could put into a meal.
Into a single meal. It'd make huge things and then have a whole shit ton of people over to go and eat it.
Yeah.
I pitched a show.
Epic Holla?
Be the
Holla perfect, at me and you everything is made off of Holla bread?
Be the perfect companion show to Man versus Food. Right after the end credits go, you go right into Man versus Toilet.
Oh. Who's porcelain strong enough?
Well, here's what the deal is. You have 12 porta potties lined up. You have 28 minutes to eat as much food as you can. You all go into the porta potties. You take the biggest dump you can. And the guy who shits the least gets kicked out.
Oh, you have to put a scale at the bottom. What happens after round two?
Then you go right to slap fight.
It all works out.
Dana White's probably thinking about it.
It's a seamless transition, if I'm honest. We also got Marina Shafir versus Killer Kelly. Portugal versus Moldova.
That should be a good banger one. Fight.
Yes. Marina's been doing quite well for herself out there. Defy as well as AEW. We have John Moxley versus to be announced at this point.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. and J.R. Kratos.
And J.R. Kratos, a couple of behemoths. And you know, one thing that I always set out with Bloodsport was to have a show, an indie show, that's really skewed towards heavyweights. Because it was so rare. I'd go to these indie shows and like everybody's 170 pounds and under or something like that. And I was like, what happened to all the heavyweights? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to put together a show where I had heavyweights on showcase. You know, the biggest titans that I could find. And so with J.R. Kratos versus Davey Boy Smith Jr., you have an Olympic level clash happening right there and then.
To quote Big E, big meaty men slapping meat.
Yeah.
There is something exciting about, like, we talk about 70s heavyweights and like about seeing just two giant dudes or women. Yeah,
it'll be about near 600 pounds in the ring when they hit it.
There's something exciting about the power of two guys like that.
Well, yeah. Speaking of Bobby Lashley earlier, I hit Bobby Lashley with a missile dropkick off the top rope in Japan and IGF. And when I landed, the impact was heavy enough that the boards I felt lifted up in one section and on top of each other.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, aside from that incredible card, there's also Yuya Uemura.
Oh, I forget this? Yuya Uemura and Alex Coughlin, two former Young Lions, two former training partners, two guys I've worked with in the past, although I've worked with Coughlin quite a lot more than Yuya. Yuya being a former Greco-Roman standout on the national level in Japan. Incredible upper body wrestling, throws, suplexes, very strong guy. But then again, when it comes to strength, you can't get bigger than Coughlin, man. That guy is strong.
Something deadlift.
It's like he's like a 600-pound deadlifter strong.
Yeah, he's going viral with his crazy deadlifts that he's been doing in the past. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aside from that, you have you're doing a pro and catch wrestling seminar March 29th. Your tickets are available for that if you're wanting to be a part of that.
Eventbrite or go to my Twitter, Josh L. Barnett, or Instagram, also Josh L. Barnett. And there's links in the bio. It's up pinned on the Twitter. If you're a Facebook person, you can go to facebook.com/Josh Barnett Official, and it's up there too. If you're a MySpace person,
too bad.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
My top eight are still all different Chewbaccas. And then I would wonder why no one came to my shows.
I altered mine so I had a top 24 or something like that. Anyways, blue and black it was at the time with MIDIs that ran in the, or no, there was a music player that I kept rotating through for bands that I was cool with or music that I thought should listen to. So
take it to the seminar.
Take it to the seminar. I don't do a lot of pro wrestling based seminars generally. So, sign up. It's limited It's not often you get an opportunity to train with someone that's been trained by Billy Robinson, Carl Gotch, and Antonio Inoki in pro wrestling specifically.
Yep. Should be really good. So make sure you're following Josh at Josh L. Barnett.
Yeah. All the other Josh Barnetts has already been taken.
Please follow Earl Skakel. He's got to go. He's got a spot tonight. He's got
to
get ready for
leather pants to slide into.
Made by Brooke Worrell. Shirt by Motley Crue. Jacket by Zadig Voltaire. That's fashion talk for you guys who probably think going to pro wrestling tees and buying an MJF shirt is like a tuxedo. Fuck. At Earl Skakel everywhere. And a shout out to this man. You know, we give each other a lot of shit.
A lot of Michigas.
Last week, he did it all alone, and I appreciate that.
Just like masturbation, though.
Well, tell me about it.
Anyway, you can follow me at RRBG Podcast and watch me interview musicians and comedians and everybody, other wrestlers that don't want to come here or they can't come here. You just do it over Zoom or something.
Yeah, and Joe, if you're watching, I apologize for me being nice. I'm available.
Yeah, and he has money.
Yeah, I'll pay for the flight. You don't have to pay me to do the podcast. I'll literally fly in. We'll talk for a couple hours. I'll fly right back out on the Gulfstream. That's a private plane for you schlubs who don't know what that is.
Well,
the rich Jewish heel manager.
I don't know
if you can make that one work in this era.
I could. It's a combination of Gary Hart and the Wizard.
Oh man,
be better than Prince Nana, whatever the hell that guy's doing.
I'm all for all of this, you know. I back it.
Yeah,
and I back you.
I need your help. Look, I'm telling you,
Bubba, I back you.
Just put me with a guy who's not, you know, doesn't. He's not good on the stick. That's the microphone.
There's plenty of them.
I know, or maybe a girl. Who's not
good on the stick?
Well, there's got to be a few that aren't comfortable talking on the mic.
Sure.
I see what you did there on the stick. That's a pee-pee reference.
Woo! All right. Well, make sure you also follow the show, please. This show that you're watching right now, at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Stores War on Twitter.
Or at least complain about it loudly.
Yes. Yeah. Any kind of, you know, interactions on the internet are good. Good or bad, doesn't matter. Just get us on the algorithm. That way we can get Prince Nana to come in here after we've been burying him 3 weeks in a row.
No, I mean, he's like a black wizard. Like, the Wizard was so iconic to me. And
where is Prince Nana?
He's in AEW.
No, ROH.
Well, I mean, he...
Oh, yeah, he shows up in AEW, I guess.
I do think there needs to be a new wave of managers.
He's keeping your hell no, to the Nana, to the Nana.
You know, he's just kind of there.
Oh.
Like, he's
with Brian Cage, Toa Leona, and Khan, the Gates of Agony, they're called.
But, you know, there's...
Prince Nana and the Gates of Agony? Sounds like a really terrible alternative band.
I mean, you know.
All right.
Or like one of those foot stompy fucking Mumford and Sons bullshit.
Hmm.
Oh, I thought you were talking about old pride rules with the foot stomps.
No.
Well, you can foot stomp in UFC. Head kicks, you can't.
That was great. Some of those Hua fights.
Yeah. Like, Shogun and Ninja, they out there just trying to soccer ball hit the goal.
I mean, it was like, wow. It's just like craziness. I gotta go, man. I'd like to take a picture. We gotta take a picture.
Yeah, we gotta take a picture. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week.
How about our new?
Our new John.
John, I tell you, you look amazing. I'm telling you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Katie. Thank you so much.
Katie is the horror podcast.
Yeah, watch Horror at the Store. She's the host.
What's it about?
About horrors at the store.
Yes, all horrors.
Oh, wow.
That would be a bio.
Limitless in terms of content.
Hey, she had Kayla Braxton on from the WWE, as a guest.
Who's that?
Yeah, she was one of the interviewees. She's a shorter one that interacts with Paul Heyman all the time.
I have no idea.
But, you know.
And how about that? Let's give a quick shout out to.
Yeah. Quick shout out to Taya Valkyrie, our friend.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
She's forgetting awesome.
She is now All Elite. And went straight to the top. She's going to face Jade Cargill at some point soon.
Like, to see her 2 months ago wrestle in XPW, I'm a bit of a mark for XPW. Mm. It's a little more deathmatch style. But, like, to see her wrestling in front of 100 people in Pomona in the freezing cold outside to what I saw last night on Rampage.
Yeah, Ty's a champ.
It was kind of – but it was like – it's nice to see good people, you know, get their
– very strong one.
Get their show. Due. Yeah, man, for sure.
If she ever divorces John, I'll tell you. My tie. John, I'm just kidding, but like.
How much giallo do you talk about on the horror podcast?
Say what?
How much giallo do you talk about on the horror podcast? Yeah, the Italians.
Oh.
Italian like, horror movies. No, she's a scream girl.
What?
Like David Arquette movie.
How far back do we go as far as our horror films?
Anything.
Oh.
Anything.
She'll watch it all.
Oh, watch it
all. Give her some suggestions.
Maniac from 81 by William Lustig.
Joe Spinell.
Yeah, Joe Spinell.
One of my...
Yeah, were you traveling down a Tom Savini tunnel? Was that how you ended up with that?
I want you guys to continue, because I'm a big fan. No. I got to go. Do you have your phone? Just take a picture right now.
Just take a picture.
We've said goodbye already, guys.
I like this. Don't even get up, dude. Two biggest heads in the business.
Oh my god! There we go. Amazing.
You too, bud.
Keep talking about that
Joe Spinoza.
I was really hoping.
No, he's Rocky's taxi owner, taxi cab guy, right? Yeah.
And the sergeant in Nighthawks. Yeah, that ball out was
so right. What, really? Ooh, that's
dicey. I was kind of hoping we could get Earl to do stand up in his shorts today, but I guess not.
Tom Platz, he's 54 years old. That's not a steroid mark, it's just acne. All
right. Well, I mean, honestly, we did kind of cover everything, but unless you want you have anything else you want to talk about?
Well, if all works out right, we'll have a beer.
Yeah.
Well, not even a beer, a barley wine.
It's considered a beer.
Yeah, yes, this is true. We've been working on this for some time. It would have been released, 2 years. It would have been released earlier than this. But the thing about what we did, a barley wine versus, say, just calling it a beer, is that barley wines can be aged because they're higher enough in their alcohol content that you can age them in a barrel, whereas the other beers that are lower alcohol content as on regular, you can't barrel age them really at all.
Yeah.
So we're going to be releasing Black Blood of the Earth. It was aged in ex-Warbringer smoked bourbon barrels, and it's pretty damn delicious. But if you buy one of these 16-ouncers and you feel like doing a whole Steve Austin with it, you're going to be on the floor.
It's 11.5%.
Is it 11.5? I thought it was possible.
It might be even higher. Who knows?
It could be anywhere between 11.5 and like
I think
11.5
was what we were originally trying to go for. Yeah. And I think with more aging time,
it could be 11.5. It could be 14.
It's a tough thing to chug.
But
I'll tell you
that. It's smooth.
It's very smooth. You're going to be, if you drink it fast, you're going to be buzzed.
Yeah, you're
going to
be
just
wrecked.
One of them.
You're going to be puking all over the place.
But yeah.
We don't need that in the Ukrainian center.
Hopefully, if all the pieces that have been coming together fall into place, we'll have it ready for Bloodsport. Should be awesome.
And hopefully as well at Grill-A-Mall with the beer and burger lovers that they are.
Shout out to them. They've got the Warmaster Burger right now as
Head
well.
To Grill-A-Mall in Alhambra. Try the Warmaster Burger while it's still available here until March 31st.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be showing Bloodsport. So if you can't get a ticket to go in and you don't want to watch it at home alone, go to Grill-A-Mall. Get a Warmaster Burger and watch Bloodsport. It'll be on the TVs. That's about it for me, I think.
Yeah.
You got anything else? You got any fights coming up?
I don't. I have a couple guys, AJ Bryant and Diego Perez. Diego being a part of the whole CMMA family. AJ's been coming in and training at CMMA with us as well, as well as working with Jamie Fletcher like he has for a long time. That'll be March 25th. UNF up next, fighting at Commerce Casino.
Okay.
Run an incredible pro show, and George and Bash do a great job to provide a nice platform and employ these guys. And they're making a better show every time. Like, they've got Ashley Evans-Smith and Thor Skanky doing interview portions with fighters and trying to put together media to promote people and promote the event. It's been fantastic. Victor Henry was their 135-pound bantam champ, and after that, he moved right onto the UFC.
Yeah, and congrats to him. He won his last match.
Against Tony Gravely. Yeah, fantastic win. So a lot of stuff going on here in the LA area for what I'm doing. I know I've got seminars coming up. I've got one in Oakland at Catch MMA. I think that's in April. Maybe it's in June. If my phone's not in front of me with my calendar, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing and where I'm at. But I'm in a town somewhere near you. Take that as you will, positive or negative.
Yeah, follow him on the social medias. You'll find all the information there. He posts everything that you're doing, pretty much. So,
yeah.
But yeah, as we said, follow him at Josh L. Barnett. Follow me at RRBG Podcast. Follow Earl at Earl Skakel. There's a lot of stuff to follow, but if you want to be part of our universe, you got to follow all the things. Follow the Comedy Store Network. We got plenty of great shows on there. So
you don't know what's going on in the crossovers if you don't read all the titles.
That's right.
If you just read New Mutants, you wouldn't get the rest of it.
Exactly. Be part of the what do we call it? The CSU, the Comedy Store Universe. But anyway, we will see you next week with another episode. Cheers.